Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Vav. Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Vav, Vayidaber Yirmiyahu HaNavi. This was the last two psukim which conclude the message going back from the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled. Just to review Perek Lamed Daled, the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled, from the first six psukim was a very severe message. Was a very severe message that was delivered by Yirmiyahu to Tzidkiyahu. The message was private, as we learned in the Mefarshim. It was a private message. This message took place right before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, at the very end of his Malchus. And the message was that the end is near. There's going to be a Churban. You are going to be captured. And you're going to be captured. You're going to be taken down to Bavel. You're going to die in Bavel. You're going to be blinded. Doesn't say that explicitly in the pasuk, and even though you're going to be taken in Bavel, at least when you die, you'll die b'derech kavod. They will eulogize you. They will say hoi adoin, and they will burn your possessions, your bed and your clothing, as a sign of honor. As a sign of honor. So this is what the basic message was, and why? What's the reason? Because you refuse to surrender. If you would have only surrendered, then everything would have been different. The fact that you refuse to surrender, therefore, this entire thing is going to come upon you. So that was what we learned yesterday. So here, we're just in the middle of finishing up the last two psukim. He winds down. Pasuk Vav. Vayidaber Yirmiyahu HaNavi el Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Eis kol hadavar mo'ela b'Yerushalayim. He relayed all of these words that Hashem told him. V'chel Bavel, and this in the army of Bavel, Pasuk Zayin, Milchamim al Yerushalayim. At this point in time, was waging war, was gearing up to wage war against Yerushalayim. The al kol ora Yehuda hanaisaros, and all the remaining cities, es Lachish v'es Azeka. Okay, so here we are introduced to these two cities that were in addition to Yerushalayim. Kihema hena nisharu be'ora Yehuda ora mivtzar. These remained from the cities of Yehuda, the only fortified cities. There were two cities, Lachish and Azekah. The Farshim say that these cities were fortified by Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. After Shlomo died, Rechavam, when the Malchus split between Yeravam ben Nevat and Rechavam, Rechavam fortified these two cities. And here we are, 410 years later, more than 400 years later, the cities are still fortified, and they're holding out against Nebuchadnezzar. Let's see the Mefarshim inside Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos David. There is no Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin. Hanoi Saros. Ma Shaloi Kavsham Adayin. The cities that have not yet been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. El Lachish. Al Lachish V'al Azaka. We had it so many times. The word El sometimes is substituted with the word Al. Kikulam kavsham v'shiches mibitzram. They were all ultimately conquered, and they were destroyed from their fortification. Rashi, pasik vav and zayin. There is none. The Radak, pasik zayin. El lochish v'el azekol kmo al lochish v'el azekol kmo ham rabim kmo shekosavnu. Okay, many examples where we substitute the el for the word al. That concludes this section. The delivery to Tzidkiyahu, the Churban is near. Now we begin a new section, starting with Pasuk Ches.
It doesn't say that he told them that
surrender. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I made a mistake. It doesn't say that explicitly. It's too late. Okay. But it does say that many times. That idea, right. But over here, in this area, in this specific section, does not make mention exactly what's going to happen. Okay, you're right. Now we begin the next section, Pasuk Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Ches, and this section is the Haftarah of Parashas Mishpatim. And by the way, it's very rare. It's possibly the rarest Haftarah that we ever read. Because Parashas Mishpatim is either Shkolim, it's Rosh Chodesh, it's either Parashas Shkolim, or it's Parashas HaChodesh, or something like that. And in a regular year like this year, it's one of the Daled Parashas, when it's not a leap year, it's almost always, without exception, and even, exactly, that's the point I want to make. It's either a leap year, and you're not going to read it, and if it's not a leap year, you almost will definitely not read this. And if it is a leap year, so you'd expect, we're pushing off the Daled Parashos to Chumash Vayikra, So now we get a crack at reading the Haftarah for Parashas Mishpatim. We are usually disappointed. And are disappointed because half the time falls out to be either Mochar Chodesh or Shabbos HaChodesh. So it's very rare.
This year.
Because on a regular year, you're never going to lane it. And leap years are not all that often. That's the fact. Leap years come around every 3-4 years, something like that. So it's, and then those 3-4 years that it comes around, your chance of reading this Haftarah is not good, because it's going to be either Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, or it's going to be Mochar Chodesh. So it's a very... I remember last year we read it, right? No, we didn't. Last year we didn't.
I don't think we read it.
I think it was the last leap year we did read it.
The only Haftarah where you read it backwards. At the end of the Haftarah, you read a few particular.
You read backwards. We do.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar.
In some places, the Luach never says to do that.
You skip a little bit. You don't need to read backwards. Okay, I'm not familiar.
Bad thing. You see if you.
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, okay. It could be okay. I don't know. I'm not familiar. Okay, but this is the Haftarah. Now, why is this? Why does this relate to Parashas Mishpatim? The following message discusses the concept of freeing slaves. In Parashas Mishpatim, we are introduced for the very first time the concept of an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, and then there is a Nirtza. Jewish slave service for 6 years. How does it happen that a person is sold to his friend as a Jewish slave? Either he's in debt, he has to pay tuition, he has chovos. Today I understand it's in style. You know, it's part of life. You have to have chovos. Rachmana Litzlan. Everyone has chovos to marry off your children, to pay tuition, grandchildren to pay for camps. I don't know this word. In my eyes is. From an outsider, it's like, it's impossible. I don't know how people survive. I don't know how I survive. But, so people have chayvos. What happens? So they sell themselves as a Jewish slave. Or, worse, Bezdin sells them. And the person declares bankruptcy. In Torah, there's no such thing as bankruptcy. It's a very amazing concept. A very amazing concept, halacha and Jewish law, bankruptcy. American law, and the whole world, you don't have the money to pay, you declare bankruptcy, and the people to whom you owe money, you potter. This is mamish kineged kol ha-Torah kula. You put in this world, you have responsibilities, you borrow money, you have a debt. At some point in time, you have to repay the debts. I was even reading a story about Goyim. I believe even Goyim certain politician, I was listening to Rabbi Stephen Przanski, the presidents and the Jews. And he mentioned a certain president, I don't remember the details, where they already established laws of bankruptcy, but it was undignified to declare bankruptcy and exempt yourself from paying off your debts. Certain people, they spent their entire life, they could have easily taken a way out, declare bankruptcy, and go scot-free, but they spent their entire life working to pay back the money that they owed, because they felt morally it's just not right. It's just not the right thing to do. Okay, so therefore we have a situation of people being sold as slaves. That's Parashas Mishpatim. And in this event over here, we're going to discover that during the time before the Chum Beis HaMikdash, there was an epidemic in Klal Yisrael where the masters enjoyed the servitude of the slaves to such a degree, they refused to let the Jewish slaves go free. The term ends at the end of 6 years. And this halacha is not to be confused with Shemitah. Just because you have Shemitah, after it's every Shemitah, the land lies fallow. So don't make a mistake and think that a person sells himself as a slave 1 year before Shemitah, and now it comes Shemitah, you go free. The laws of serving for 6 years have nothing to do with Shemitah. A person has to work 6 years straight.
Only
Yovel. Yovel takes out. Does Yovel take an Eved Ivri? I'm not sure. I don't know. Does a Yovel take an Eved Ivri? It could be. I don't know. I don't remember. Yovel takes out a Nirtza. After 6 years, if the slave says, "Ahavti yes Adoni v'yes Ishri yes Bonei lo yitzi chavshi,"
after the 6 years, if you're a Nirtza.
Well,
if
after this,
Olam is until
no, but you only there's no such thing as an Eved Ivri working more than 6 years. A Jewish male cannot work more as a slave for his master more than 6 years. If I'm not mistaken, it goes through Yovel. If he sells himself 1 year before Yovel, Shemitah Yovel, doesn't matter.
I meant if it's a near tzar, 6 years,
yes.
Yovel sets him free. In other words, after you don't need the near tzar,
of a near tzar. All right,
10,
so that's a different topic. So let's say,
right. Bavodoli Olam, then it's Yovel.
In a situation where the Eved Ivri, he concludes his 6 years of servitude, and the Eved Ivri himself refuses to leave, ki toiv lo imach, because he has a good life. So then he becomes a Nirtza, and then he has to work until Yovel. And Yovel, whenever Yovel falls out, if Yovel's in 5 years, it goes down 5 years. Yovel's in 49 years, so he goes down in 49 years. But a regular Eved Ivri, until he becomes a Nirtza, until he says to his master, I love you, I don't want to leave, he only works for a max of 6 years. Now here, there was an epidemic taking place in the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, where slaves worked for 6 years, and now the time came when they had to be released, regardless of if the money was paid off. And the master and the slave indeed wanted to leave, and the master locked the door. The master said, you are my Jewish slave, you worked here for 6 years, you are going nowhere. You're my slave, you're my dependent, I'm not going to let you go. By the way, when he lets him go, the master has to set him up. It's an expensive investment, a slave. A slave, he serves you, does all your hard work for 6 years, but when 6 years are over, you have to give him hanukkah, severance, a severance package. Okay, and the severance package is significant. You have to help him reestablish himself in life. So when you are using a person, you're truly a rehabilitation. By taking into your home a Jewish slave, you are to some degree rehabilitating him. You are giving him a job, you're giving him some self-confidence, you're building him up, and then when the term is over, you have to go and give him his independence, and not only give him his independence, you have to assist him in establishing a home for himself. Everything that he worked. So it's a very fascinating concept, the entire thing called Eved Ivri. It's more than what the slave is doing for the master. The master is doing for the slave, because the master is rehabilitating this poor fellow who is in a lot of trouble. So what happened? The masters didn't want to do the rehabilitation part. They were takers and they were not givers. They had these slaves work for 6 years. And then it came time for them to free them and to rehabilitate them by giving them hanukkah and setting them up. They said, you're not going nowhere. Who's going to clean the toilets for us? Who's going to work in the factories, in the sweatshops? You're not going nowhere. You're sitting right here. And I even convinced them, it's good for you to be with us. What are you going to do? I'm going to set you out on the street.
They put a fence,
but it's more, they probably, psychological abuse. They probably told them, what benefit is this for you to go and leave and go out into the world?
You
can't get married. You have over here, you have a shifcha. So it was more than just physical coercion. It was psychological abuse of keeping these people locked up for more than 6 years. This was considered by Hashem a grave avera.
Right.
A grave. Now the question over here is, when did this event take place? We're going to have all the details, and again, of course, that's why we read this Parashas Mishpatim, because Parashas Mishpatim deals with the sugya of the Jewish slave, and therefore this is a perfect haftarah to read for Parashas Mishpatim. The big question among the Mefarshim here is, when exactly did this event take place? When did this abuse take place? And when did Yirmiyah give Musa to Klal Yisrael? And why specifically was this a subject for Yirmiyah to use in order to give Musar to Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael were in violation of basically everything. They violated Kol HaTorah Kula. So why is this all of a sudden such a sticking point, the linchpin? Well, I don't know if that's the right word, but the sticking point for Klal Yisrael. So the answer is, there are two approaches. Some say that this took place before the siege began. It took place, in other words, everything was still fine and well. Klal Yisrael were enjoying their autonomy. There was no siege. Tzidkiyahu was the melech. Things were good. If you go into Yerushalayim, there was free trade. There was a good economy. Everything was fine and good. The siege did not yet begin. And they also had alliances with Egypt and other nations that in case there would be problems, they would come to their defense. Yirmiyah is warning, Rabbi Yisai, I'm telling you, I see bad things happening. And you know what I see happening? I see there's going to be a churban, and the churban is going to be mida kineged mida. Just like you refuse to free your slaves, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to enslave you. You are going to get a taste of your own medicine. Everything is fine. Everything at this point in time is okay. But Yirmiyah is warning that terrible things are going to happen as a consequence for the violation of what's taking place here. Other commentators disagree, and they tell us that this, according to what I just said, this means that this nevuah we're about to read took place before the nevuah we read at the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. When we began Perek Lamed Aleph, that nevuah took place in the very last year. It took place at right before the Churban. This nevuah then is going back 3 years before the siege even began. The Abarbanel says this.
Right.
Abarbanel says this, so we quote something in the article, and therefore, ein muktam u'mu'ucho b'Torah. Certainly, when it comes to nevuah, the prophecies that are laid out in Sefer Yirmiyah are not in any particular order, and we're just jumping back and forth in different periods of time, and this is an earlier prophecy. However, other commentators disagree and are of the opinion that these two prophecies are in order, they are in chronological order, and Yirmiyah was giving Klal Yisrael a last resort to free themselves from the Shibud. There's a siege, they're starving, the Churban is about to begin, and Yirmiyah says, listen, why don't you do a chesed, or do teshuvah, something which will trigger a midah keneged midah. If you will free your slaves now, that will serve as a zuchus that Hashem will free you from servitude. So that's another approach. Exactly when this statement. Let's see what it says. Hadavar Hasher Hoyo El Yirmiyahu Meis Hashem Acharei Kirois after Kirois Amalach Tzidkiyahu Bris Eskola Am Hasher B'Yushalayim Likro Lohem Dror. Now there's another important point which I didn't mention, which will come out clear in the Pesukim, is that the people, when Yirmiyah did give them Musar, the people were receptive. They listened to his words, and they indeed freed all of the Jewish slaves. They did it. They listened. Everyone was free. However, shortly thereafter, they had Charata. They changed their mind, and they once again repossessed. They walked in the street. People woke up in the morning, and the bathroom was not clean. So they said, oh, who's going to clean the bathroom now? I have to clean the bathroom. It's not like Kvaidi to clean the bathroom. What could I do? I have to listen to Yirmiyah. The Torah says after 6 years you go free. You go to Shul to Davin, and who do you see this homeless lying on the street corners, just doing who knows what they're doing? You see your old slave. So you say to yourself, my toilet is dirty, and this guy doesn't have a job anyway. What in the world did Yirmiyah tell me to do? Yirmiyah was not a very popular person. Yirmiyah was known to be a madman. So what did Yirmiyah tell me to do here? To free my slaves? And look at the life I have now. So they had charata. They had charata, and each person repossessed a slave and had him do the work. So that's what's over in the Mishkul of here. Hadav Hashem Hoyol Yimiyol Meis Hashem Achrei Kiros after Kiros Hamel Tzidkiyah Bris after Hashem forged the Bris Esa Kol Om Asher Bishlaim Likro Lohem Dror to declare a freedom. Dror means freedom. This took place after indeed the people were set free. What was the freedom? The next pasuk explains Lishalach to discharge. Each individual es avdoi v'ish es shifchaso, his servant and his maidservant, ho ivri v'ho ivriya. Now make no mistake, we're not dealing with non-Jewish slaves. There's an eved ivri and eved Kanani is a non-Jewish slave. A non-Jewish slave has to keep mitzvahs like an isha, but it's not, he's not yet fully Jewish. A Jewish slave is no different than yourself. The 100% obligated in every single mitzvah, and in fact the Gemara says that you have an obligation to treat him better than you treat yourself. If you only have one pillow, who gets the pillow? The slave gets the pillow. Everything, the slave has to be treated equal to the master. Whatever you eat, he eats. Whatever accommodations you have, he has. The only thing is, he works and you go to Kailo. That's the only difference between you. Ki toif loy imach. If you have a slave, it's like as if you have a master over yourself. So it says, if you have the Jewish servant, the female Jewish servant, the declaration was to set them free. Levilti avod bam biyehudi achinu biyachinu ish. So that we should not know, person should force his fellow Jew to serve as a slave. This was the declaration, and it went well in the beginning, at least. Let's see the mafarshim. Let's start at pasuk aleph. Ches. In the mitzudah stav likro hamdurar return alaymar likro lavodim l'shvachas to declare for the slaves and the maidservants of freedom will be specified what the freedom is in the next pasuk. What is the freedom? Pasuk test l'shalach. Achshav yifarish l'mi yiyeh hadoror u'ma hoya u'mahi. To whom was the freedom declared, and what was the freedom? The Amar, the pasuk specifies l'shalach, to discharge kol ish esavdo chavshim free. Ulitaysefes bear Amar levilti avod ba Yehuda achinu ish, and not that man should not serve, force his fellow man to serve. You have to read the words backwards. Or it's Sunalaimar, Shum Ish. If you translate the words backwards, then it makes it easier to read. Shum Ish lo yavoid od biyehudi achiv. No Jew should force his fellow man to serve. Achar sh'avdoi she'shanim, after they have already served for 6 years. Mishpat HaTorah, like it says in the Torah. Now, I just want to point out one interesting thing, is that even though I told you in the beginning that this halach of working for 6 years means 6 years straight, it does not make a difference if Shemitah and Yovel appear in the middle. A Jewish slave works straight for 6 years, even Shemitah and Yovel. There is one minority opinion. I believe it's the Chizkuni. It's a shocking chiddush. He says, Avodcha she'shanim means assuming you start in the first year of Shemitah. And when you get to Shemitah, then the Jewish slave goes free. Just like you release all your loans, your debts, a slave is also in the category of a debt because he owes you money. You're buying him, you're purchasing him. So the Chizkuni says, when it says, Uvashona hashvis yetzei l'chavshi, goes free, it means the year of Shemitah. It's a shocking chiddush. It's a das yachid, and 99.9% of the other mefarshim thoroughly disagree. They don't even bring it up as a havamina, that there should be such a thing that it means Shemitah. It means you work for 6 years and you go out in the seventh year.
Sell him because if Shemitah comes, he has no more debts.
Right. So you make the best you can, at least a few dollars better than nothing. So if 6 years, let's say he stole $1 million, how much is he going to make anyway in the first 6 years? So he's going to make $5,000. The guy was
a. There's going to be a balance left in his debt.
Anyway, you're right. Anyway, there's going to be a balance. No, never ends. There's no such thing in Torah as bankruptcy.
Can he resell himself after 6 years?
No, he can't. Can he resell? I don't think so. I don't think he can be sold again.
He still has a debt, though. He's supposed to.
I don't know the details. I don't know. Maybe.
You don't sell yourself after 6 years. You have to sell yourself for.
I don't know the details.
Sell yourself the first time, but you may not be paying off the total debt.
Right, Erechanami. So just because you don't have the total debt doesn't mean you should do nothing. Better pay off a partial debt, even a few dollars, than pay off nothing. Maybe once you start, Hashem helps those who help themselves. Once you already get into the skill of making parnasim, who knows, maybe from that it can develop something where you can make a lot of money, where you can actually pay off the debt. Okay, so this is v'hu mikra besuas v'tzon lemar shum isha. Okay, that is one make. Okay, plus this is what it says in the first two psukim. First, what is it? Three ches and tes. Okay, let's now take a look at Rashi. Pasuk ches. Achrei kros hamelech b'shana hashviyis l'molchay. This event took place in the seventh year. So Rashi over here, I told you they're Barbanel. I didn't realize that Rashi says the same thing, that this nevuah took place in the seventh year, which is before the siege. The siege was year 8, or year, it was 9, 10, 11, or maybe a little bit before. I don't know what it means, 11. 11 means complete years, partial years, I don't know exactly. But Yirmiyahu, Sidkiyahu, he served for 11 years. So assume it's 8, it's 9, 10, 11, the last 3 years of the siege. And this took place in the seventh year of his malchus, when everything in Klal Yisrael was A-OK. The stock market was up, the economy was thriving, Klal Yisrael had friends in the Middle East that would come to their aid. Everything was rosy. And yet Yirmiyah said, you know, Rabbi Isai, there's a terrible thing that's taking place, this corruption taking place here in the Jewish people. People are enslaving their fellow Jews illegally. Let's see, Now this also, Rashi points out, has a lot of parallel in Sefer Yecheskel. Amru Yecheskel, Eved Koyhanim, Shemachu Rabbi, Mahu Sheyachal B'tshuma. They asked Yecheskel the halacha, if a slave of a Koyin that has been sold, is he allowed to eat Tshuma? Kloyma Lefi, Shehoyu Reitzim, Loyma Loy Nenash Al HaMitzvos, Al Shechziroi Es Ho'avodim. Now this is the Yecheskel. I'm not familiar with the details, but they asked him a question. An Eved Ivri does not eat Truma. That's a given. Okay, that's Poshut. Eved Ivri does not eat Truma, but yet...
From his master,
yeah.
If he is a Kohen
himself and he does eat. So here, Eved Kohen, who is a Kohen, Shemochro Rabbi, Mahu Shayokhar Shemka. Whatever the question was, it was the question. So why did they particularly, I don't know the details, but why did they ask him this specific question? Kulaymar, Lefishayu, Roitzim Loymar, Lo Nenash Al HaMitzvahs, Al Shech Ziroi Esravodim, somehow, some way, maybe one day we'll be Zechlo and Yecheskel together, but somehow it says over here that they were coming to defend themselves, that they're good people, that they listened to the Navi Yirmiyah and they released their slaves, and they were bragging to Yecheskel that they did this. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Ches in the Radak. Hadav Rachmei
Kroi Samech Tzitzki Yehoshu. The question that they asked was, can the Rav eat this?
Can the master?
Yeah.
Why the master?
Because he now bought us the slave that's a Kayin.
So?
Does he get all the schuz?
The benefits of the Kayin. But Nevedivri is totally independent. Okay, whatever the question is.
No, but I think that's what the question,
was. Can the master... But here they're trying to say that they legitimize themselves, that they free them. Okay, we really need to look up. We need to look at the Pesukim. We need to go to Cheskel Perachof and analyze it in more detail. I didn't get a chance to do it. But there was some time... In this question is alluded to the fact that the people followed the directive of Yirmiyahu and they freed their slaves. Okay, Levilti Pasik, let's go further in the Radak. The Radak says, Adavar Achrei Kreis Melzit Kiyoh, Pasik Ches, in Radak, Shavu Lohem Mizeh Ovoin, they did teshuva from this sin, the Karsu Lohem Bris Lekayim Hadror, and they forged a covenant to fulfill the freedom, Uve Seid Olam Kima Sho'imer, B'Sefer Yecheskel. Here again he quotes what it says here in Sefer Yecheskel. And they sat before Yecheskel. To them, and their slaves and their maidservants. Kmo shamar l'shalach ish esavdoi uvo hakinui terem hayidia. Kmo vat, the kinui is the adjective, comes before the yidig, vatirehu es hayelet. She saw the child, v'hadayim lo. So in this pasuk it says, bo hakinui, what's the kinui here in this pasuk? The kinui in this pasuk is, I'm not sure, I don't know, let's go further. Pasuk test, levilteish avod bam, be'ivri v'ivriya, v'yachaka chosif, Beyer v'Omar. First, he says they should not enslave the Jewish slave and the maid servant. The Achakach Chosef Beyer more explanation. V'Omar b'Yehudi Achinu Ish, who k'moy hipuch. We should read these words backwards. Levilti avoid Ish b'Yehudi Achinu. The last three words of the pasuk should be translated backwards. That no Ish should work. No Ish b'Yehudi should enslave his fellow brother. Levilti avod Ish b'Yehudi, not backwards. Last word, the first word and the middle word. No Ish b'Yehudi should enslave Achinu, his brother. V'chein mekoyim sham kever, mekoyim kever sham v'hadoimim lochem sham muktam mu'uchar. Many times, the only way to translate a word pasuk is to read the words out of order. Okay, next, let's go further. Now, pasuk yud. They came, all the officers and the people that entered into this covenant, to release Ish es avdo v'ish es shivchasai chavshim free levilti avod bam, oh, not to enslave them. And they listened, and they obeyed the command. Rada Mitzudos Pasig Yud Vayishmu Ratzolomar Kiblu Al Atzmam Lishlach Ish Esavdo. Everyone accepted upon themselves this directive. Vayishmu Vayishalechu Kiblu Al Atzmam Lishlayach Vachin Shoch. They did, and they listed what they said they would do. They did. Ulefisha Orchu Advarim Bemasha Amal Lishlach Vulchin Chazav Yama Vayishmu Vachin Derech Hamikra. There is some verbosity. Vayishmu Vayishalechu. Since we went into a discussion, so therefore we just come back and repeat the same concept again because we should not forget what we discussed. Let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudos in the Radak. Radak, there is nothing on Pasuk Yud. Next Pasuk Yud Alf. Here's where we come to the problem. Vayoshuvu achrichein vayoshivu eswavodim. The people had charota. They reneged on their fulfillment of this mitzvah. Vayoshivu eswavodim v'yeshashvachos asheshulchu chavshim v'yichbishum la'avodim l'shvachos. And they conquered them, they overtook them, they subjugated them as slaves and maidservants. So look what happened over here. What happened over here was the people they reneged on their obligation, and they once again possessed them as slaves. Let's see the Mitzudos of Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayoshuvu achar zeh nischartu. They had regret. Vehziru esavodim v'tavsu bochem bechazaka lios lachem lavodim l'shvachos. They forced them once again to be their slaves. Radak pasuk gidal vayichabshu k'siv vayichabshum kri kain is a kri v'k'siv v'inyanechon. It's the same thing. Ela shazen k'min noisiv v'zem inakal. One is noisiv vayichbishum vayichbishum. So one is they caused them. One is they actually did. So maybe it could be that it was done like two thumbs. What they did was they could, maybe I'm just saying the Jewish is that they caused them to be captured. It means through psychology. They didn't actually go into the street with a whip and with a gun and say, get back into the home, get back and clean the toilets. They went, they spoke to them and said, don't you think it would be better? They persuaded them. Don't you think that you, on your own, should make a decision that it would be better for you to come back and serve as my slave than to remain here on the streets? They caused them to be recaptured. They did not have to actually go and physically recapture them. Well, Bezin was very upset. People were not listening to the Bezin. Bezin said to them that this is shalik halacha. The halacha in the Torah is explicit. These people go free. You have no right to enslave them. And these people were not listening to the Bezin. They were not listening to Yirmiyahu, who represented the Bezin. So now we have...
Do you have a summary of the Malbim in here?
I do not. You tell me, what does it say?
Yeah, it's interesting. It says, Malbim conjectured that at that time, many of the poor people were enslaved by the wealthier classes in order to pay their debts to them, you know, like debtors.
Indentured slaves.
During the siege, Sitkiyahu feared that they would rebel or defect to the custom, as indeed later to the Romans in such a situation. He therefore proclaimed that they make a covenant to free the slaves in order to avoid a rebellion. When the siege was over, and with it the threat of rebellion, the former owners took back their former slaves. In this they committed two sins. One, they violated the covenant and the oath. And two, they enslaved people who were completely free men. In fact, kidnapping or stealing.
Okay, well, he's saying very bechidush that there was a double siege. I'm not aware of this. He says that there was a siege, and then the siege was dissipated.
Not a siege, you were in San Pedro.
No, that was way before.
Was there a question of a revolt?
But then it says, he writes, he assumed that after the siege was over. I'm not sure about a double siege. I'm not familiar. I'm surprised. Probably it's, okay, Einachanam is saying an idea that they were, let's see, this is the first part. They were afraid that these people had sympathy for the custom. They were enemies of their masters. There was a lot of bad feeling between the masters and the slaves, and therefore these were people that were problematic, that they may come and rebel. So they were good to them. They gave them benefits. Now that the war is over, somehow the situation lightened up. There was no longer a threat. They reneged and they took them back because now everyone was selfish. Everyone had their own agenda in mind. That's what the Malam is saying. So now we have over here a very big problem. So here we begin over here with the response. Pasuk Yud Beis begins Yirmiyah's harsh Musar to Klal Yisrael. Vayihi Devar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Me'eis Hashem Leimar Koyama Hashem Elokei Yisrael Anochi Oy Korati Vris Esavos Avosecha. Now here, notice here, Hashem here is tying this sin directly, connecting it to the fact that we, the Jewish people, were slaves to Mitzrayim. Akiyav, we were avodim in Mitzrayim. And therefore, midah k'neged midah, you don't want to free your slaves. So maybe Hashem will say, you know what? I'll also renege. I'll maybe bring you back to Egypt and make you slaves once again. It's the one of the fundamental principles of Yadus is Zacharta ki eved ha-yisa bi-eretz Mitzrayim. Never ever forget that you once upon a time were a slave in Eretz Mitzrayim. Don't forget that point. And if you don't, if that will change your attitude how you deal with other people. I forged bris esavosechem. I took them out in Eretz Mitzrayim. What was the bris that I made with you on that day? And this is what it says in Parashas Mishpatim. Miketz sheva shanim tishalchu ish esachiv at the miketz. Now here is a very unusual expression, because the Torah explicitly says at the end of 6 years. Rabbi Mevsky, remember the pasuk? Sick the Eved Ivri. What does it say in the pasuk Mishpat? Uvashviis yetzei lachofshi chinam. What? Uvashviis means what? How do you translate that in the Torah? Uvash means in the beginning of the seventh year. When 6 years are over, Uvashviis means at the beginning of the seventh year. So you would not say at the end, because the end would be total of 7 years. So why then does the pasuk here use the word miketz? This is something that is very, very intriguing, and is the topic of much discussion. The word miketz, sheva shanim tishalchu, at the end of 7 years, tishalchu, ish esachif, or ivri, asher yimachil lecha, that was sold to you, vavadcha, and will serve to you v'sheish shanim, v'shilachtoi chavshi meimach, and you shall send them free from you, v'loi, and here Yirmiyahu gives them the mus, v'loi shamu avoseichem elai, your forefathers did not listen to me, v'lohitu esazlam, and they did not turn their ear to listen to what it says in the Torah, they are in violation of this mitzvah. Okay, let's see the pasuk and how it's translated here among the farshim. Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel.
Back in Re'eh, it says at the end of 6 years.
6 years. Oh, so the way it's so there it says explicitly. What's the pasuk? What are the words?
Miketz sheishonim.
It says what miketz. Miketz.
And
here it's saying miketz for the seventh year.
That's where it says about Hanukkah.
Okay, let's see what the mitzudos that it says. And the mitzudos pasuk Yubei says v'hidavar Hashem zehu ha'amol b'tchilas u'inyin hadavar asher haya u'lefish aruchu hadvarim chazal lemar v'hidavar Hashem. We're now returning to the beginning of the perek, We're returning to discuss this theme in more detail. Pasuk Gimel, b'yom ha'otzi, I have established a covenant with you on the day when I took you out of slavery. B'yom ha'otzi, be'es ha'otzi, v'al maimed har sinai ye'omar, it's referring to maimed har sinai. She'oz koras bris al kol ha'mitzvahs b'chlolon. At that point in time, Hashem has established a bris on all of the mitzvahs. Miketz. So here the mitzudos detects we're going to have a problem. What's the problem? Miketz. At the end of 7 years. That's not what it says in the Torah. It says in the Torah, in the Uvashvi, it's the beginning of the seventh year. And in Parashat Shu'ei, it's explicit. At the end of 6 years. Ritzon Eloimar, Mitchila. Wow. That means whenever it says the word Ketz, it means the beginning. Or Mashiach, we call the Mashiach the Ketz HaYomin, which is simply translated as the end of days. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of what this world was created for. At that point in time, the world will live the way it was meant to live. So Miketz, you have an incredible insight into Miketz from this pasuk here in Yirmiyah. Miketz doesn't just mean the end, it means K'loi Ratzon Lomar Mitchila, Ki Harosh Yikare Kotzeh K'mo Hasof. Ketz just means a border, a boundary. So sometimes a boundary referred to the end, and sometimes a boundary is the beginning. That's a very, very fascinating insight. Sheva shanim, 7 years, limei avduso, v'chasher yiforesh acharav. By the way, now everyone agrees to this, but I'll show you in a moment. Sheva shanim, limei avduso, 7 years into his service, kasher yiforesh acharav v'avodcha, he will serve you shei shanim. The pasuk goes on to say explicitly, you're going to work for 6 years. V'achar kach, and afterwards, tishal chuchavshi, you will send him free. Yirmiyah complains, in the name of Hashem, I made this bris with you at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and here you are in violation. Rashi, we did the Rashi, you know, there is this later on, there is no radak. Okay, now, other commentators, I believe I saw this somewhere, probably in the art school, says that when it says over here, Miket Sheva Shalim Tishalchu Ish Es Achiv HaIvri, refers to the end of seven, refers to the Nirtza. The fact that it says seven, end of seven, it's not really, it can't be the 6 years. It means once the seventh year has begun. When do you have a situation where seventh year begins? By inevitably.
Maybe because the Torah says it before this in terms of the Avodim and Re'ei, Mikein Sheva Shonim Taseh Shemitah. It sounds like the end of 7 years.
Yeah, and Echnami. So what does it say?
So is that mean, is it the same thing maybe, so to speak? You might have a Hamamin if you think at the end of 7 years goes over there. What is Shemitah? The seventh year is Shemitah.
Right.
But it says Mikein Sheva.
That's Machlag, is when is Shemitah Meshamet? Okay. It's
exactly.
Soiv Shemitah.
So maybe you want to say the same thing over here by Avodim. That's what I was thinking.
By Avodim, it's going to be at the end of seven.
That was my thought, that maybe that's the confusion. Since Shemitah, it says Mikein Sheva Shonim, and it means only the seventh year is Shemitah. So over here, maybe you want to say it's also confusing when it says Uvashvi is, it means maybe at the end of 7 years also. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just
good. Okay, but over here there is a another interpretation. I think I found this, that when it says over here the end of 7 years, Kates means the end. There's nothing to talk about. So how could it be the end of 7 years? So the answer is we're alluding over here to the Nirtza. What's the Nirtza? After 6 years is over, the slave says, it's the slave who says, "O hafti es adoni es yeshivi es panel lo etse chavshi." The slave is the one that says, "I refuse to depart." In that instance, what do we do to the slave? We take him to the bezdin, we take him to the door, we take out an awl, and we pierce his ear. And the avoducha, he has to work with you until yovel, until yovel. So that is a situation where a slave enters into the seventh year legally. But that slave also has to go free at the end of his term. What is the end of the term of a nirtza? Yovel. So therefore, what he's saying over here is, Miketz Sheva Shonim Tishalechu, when it says over here, at the end of 7 years, Tishalchu, it's hard to read this literally according to this interpretation, but it means at the end of the term, you have to add words into the pasuk, at the end of his servitude of a person who legally enters into year number seven. How is that possible? If the slave says, "Oh, hafti es adonai v'es ishti," then he enters into a tkufa of being a nirtza. A nirtza leaves yovel. At the end of that term, he's supposed to go free. Tishalchu ishes ocher v'ivri, asher yimachal l'chavavot chasher shonim, shonim, he worked for you 6 years. Now, it's not really, and then he refused, you have to add into the pasuk, and he refused to go out. And he refused to go out, and he stayed with you. Okay, it doesn't read well either way, but it's an idea. It's an idea which, to some degree, preserves the integrity of the word "kates" as we associate it. But on the other hand, it's problematic, and the reading of the pasuk doesn't really flow well. It forces you to add more words into the pasuk.
What I'm getting out of this here is that since it says it twice in the Torah, what Rashi points out is that in Mishpatim is Bezdin selling him, and in Re'eh is he selling himself.
Self. Uh-huh.
So that's a difference. So maybe you think in Mishpatim it's at the end of 6 years and the beginning of the seventh year, but if he sells himself, maybe it's like the loans and things like that, or whatever it is. It is in the seventh year that you might have a habanina to think that way. Because here it's two different scenarios. That's why it says it twice, to teach you both.
But lahalacha, they're the same. As far as we know, lahalacha, they are the same. There has to be a distinction maybe in a person's mind. I don't know. These are issues which I don't have any.
There are certain differences between being sold and selling yourself.
Okay, let me show you. Okay, one more second over here. The end. Oh, here it is. I read you what it says over here. It's Gemara Narochin. I have the Midrashim here. I'm surprised I didn't see this. The translation of Kates as the outset.
Right.
That's how the Mitsudos translate it. Targum translates it follows the Mitsudos. The sages, however, render the word in its more common meaning at the end of the seventh year. They apply this phrase, what does it mean at the end of the seventh year, to a pierced slave, a nirtza, who goes free at the beginning of Jubilee. Accordingly, Jeremiah reprimands the nation for disregarding both the freedom of the Jubilee year and later in the verse the sixth year. So he wants to say that you only have in the Psukim when he switches at the end of the pasuk to going free at the sixth year. That refers to the regular year. So it's basically what I told you. It's not a literal interpretation of the pasuk. When it says over here seven, it's a code. The number seven.
The word he says instead of bisov, he says misov.
Misov.
That's the targum. So he says in the seventh year.
In the seventh year. Okay. So we have over here, according to this interpretation, according to the Gemara Masechta Arachin, the reason why it says at the end of 7 years, it's really a code word for a slave who enters legally into the Yovel term as a Nirtza, because he said to his master, I'll have to ask other Adonives Ishti, and then it comes the Kates, the very end Yovel, and the masters refuse to let them go. And then when the pasuk goes forward and says Va'avodcha Sheshonim, that refers to the regular evidary, which is not supposed to work more than 6 years. Okay, let's see what it says here in the, let's go further. Pasuk tests Vav. Vatashuvu atem hayom, and you've done good. So here he goes over, he says over here that even though initially when I've given you that command you have done tshuva, Vatasu es hayosha be'einai, you have done what is right in my eyes, likro deror ish lirei'eu, to declare a proclamation of freedom for each man, Vatichasu vris lefonai b'bayis hazeshanikra shmiolav, and you did what you're supposed to do, you established the bris before me in this Beis Hamidrash which my name is called upon. But then Pasuk Tezayin says, Vatashuvu, but you reneged on your good deeds. Vatechalelu eshmi, you have profaned my name. Vatashivu ish es avdo v'ish eshivchaso, you have taken back each man his slave and his servant. Asher shilachtem chavshim, which you have sent free l'nafsham. Vatichpeshu osam, you've conquered them liyos lochem, to be for you la'avodim v'lishvachos, as slaves and maidservants. So therefore, you're back in violation of the halacha. Let's take a look over here in the Tzupsukim, in the Mitzudos, Pasuk Tezav, Pasuk Tezayin. Tezvav, Vatashivu, V'yatem, Shavtem, B'tshuvosh, Hayom, you've done Shuva, L're'eu, L'avda, Ha'ivri, Asher Nikra Shmi Olav, Ki, Nikris, Beis Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash is called the Beis Hashem, Vatachalu, Eshmi, but you've changed your mind, Ba'avrichem, Al-Shua, Sabritz, Vatashuvu, V'chzartem, L'kachas, each Asavdo, each man is taking back his slave, L'nafsham, L'leches, L'ritzaynem, do what you so wish, Vatichpeshu, U'tefastem, Bochem, B'chazokov, you've taken them by force. Okay, Pasik, let's see, there's no other commentaries. Let's go further. Pasik, Yud Zayin, Lochem, therefore, as punishment for your sins, Koy Amar Hashem, Atem Yu, Loishematem Elai, Likroi Duror Ish Liachiv Ish Lirieu, being that you did not declare the freedom to each man, therefore, Hinini Korei Lochem Duror Nu'um Hashem. Now look at the way he the Musar. I'm also going to declare a freedom. What's the freedom? The freedom for the Mashchis, the force of evil to be released from its constraints and come attack you. That's not what you would normally expect the pasuk to say. You're going to be punished. The way we define punishment is we have over here force of evil. We have over here the Mashchis, the Cherem, the Gdev, and the Rav. All of these things, they are locked up. They're locked up in a dungeon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares them free when he releases the prisoners. So then the Cherem, the Dever, the Ra'av, will now be free to go and attack and to cause harm to Klal Yisrael. Hinni kori lechem d'ror, num Hashem, el ha-cherev, to the cherev, the sword, v'el ha-dever, the plague, v'el ha-rov, the famine, v'nasati eschem l'za'ava, and I will make you an object of terror, l'chol mamlechos ha-aretz, of horror, l'chol mamlechos, it's all the kings of the earth, when they'll see you, they'll be horrified. Wow, look at such a sorrow. Look what happened to these people that once were so high, and look now how low they have fallen. Let's look at Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Mitzudos Tav. Likro Dror, Ritzoin Olaymar, Litzkayim Kriyas HaDror, to establish the proclamation. Hinani Korei Lechem Dror, Ritzoin Olaymar, Etain Latzchem Chavshim, I'm going to make you free, Mimeni, though I told you a little bit different, but here the way in Mitzudos Tav, I'm not going to protect you. You're not going to be under my protection. I'm going to release you from my protection. You're going to be free. free from my protection, so that the forces of harm can easily come upon you. Lios mufkarim el hacherev, v'lo ehye oid adon aleichem. I'm not going to be a master lemnoya eschem miyedehem, in order to protect you from the harm that is coming your way. Lezava lechol mamlechos, I'm going to make you as an object of horror to all the nations. So it's an lemar kulam yacharidu eschem. Every nation will be permitted to terrify you, to cause you pain. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hineni Kari Lechem Durar, Me'iti, I'm going to declare you free from me. I'm not going to protect you. She'eni Odoin Lochem, I'm not going to be your master Lehatzil to save you. V'tiyu Hefker El Hachene V'El Harav, and you'll be Hefker to the sword and the famine. Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Radak, Hineni Kari Lechem Durar, Nu Mashem El Hachene V'El Hadever V'El Harav, Ki Kulam Yishutu Bochem, they will all have control over you. V'lo yeh lechem odon sheyimona eschem ehem. You will no longer have a master that will protect you from the forces of evil.
Ki, that's what Yeshaya said. Merega chaton azafir.
I will abandon you. Abandon you to the force of evil. Ki chavshim ti lechem. I will be free. You will be free lohem to them. So interesting. The Radak is different than what Rashi and the Mitzudot said. Radak is okay. It's similar, but when it says free, Dura means freedom. What does it mean free? Free from Hashem, or free for the enemies to do what they want? It's both, obviously.
Because a master would be obligated to protect his servant.
So, but what's the precise meaning?
The
concept is true both ways, but which one is the precise meaning? According to Rashi, the precision is Hashem's. The precision is you're free from me. You're free from me. Mimela. Once you're free from me, I'm not protecting you. Mimela, you don't stand a chance. They're gonna run you over. That's what the Radak says.
No, oh, Rashi.
She'eni adon lachem lahatzil liti hefker el. Oh, so you're right. But Rashi contradicts himself. First, he says duror me'iti, from me. The freedom is you're free from me. Then Rashi goes on to say, and mainly you're free to the force of evil.
You don't have me to protect
you. You don't have my protection.
I know that it's true, that it's obviously, but what is the precise meaning of the word diror? Who are you being freed from? Rashi,
from Hashem's protection.
And also you're free for the enemy to do as you want.
Once you're free from Hashem's
protection,
you have nothing to do with it.
Okay, so then you say, he's saying like what I said, that the roar means you're primarily free from me. Rashi elaborates. And Mimela, the enemy, will do what they want. Right. But look at the Radak. The Radak says the word.
It's the same thing as Rashi.
But the Radak says, Ki chafeshim tiyu lohem. The emphasis is that the freedom is for the forces of harm. They are free to do what they want to you. Also because I'm not taking care of you anymore. I just want to point out is that the word Dura over here appears to possibly be a difference of opinion as to who we apply the focus of the freedom. They're both true.
It may be just implicit and just not expressed.
Okay, but sometimes you want to get a more precise translation. Lezava. What is the meaning of Lezava? The source of Har Lezava. The Kari Lezava. It's spelled with extra vav. Lezav. Lezav. Those are reversed. The ayin and vav are reversed. V'inyan echad. It's the same thing. We have many words that are like that. Keves kesef. Inyan tenua. Usinuda. Ela sha'oisios hapuchos. Kamo kevesh and kesef. V'adem lohem. This similar and salma. Keves and kesef. A sheep. It's spelled in the Torah two different ways, keves and kesef, and sometimes the word similar, garment. Sometimes it's spelled similar and it's samla. What?
They also have parochas and kaporis.
Okay, that's interesting. Even though they're different things.
Yeah, but
they cover the aron. They cover the aron. So this is very common. Here also he says that this word is one word which you have lezava and with a vav. Lezaveo, and one is lezavo. Okay, or whatever. It will be pronounced both ways. Next, pasuk yudches. V'nasati es hanashim ha'irim es brisi, asher I'm going to punish the people that have transgressed my bris, asher lo hikim bris divrei ha'bris, asher karsu lifonoi, ha'egel asher karsu l'shnaim. Now this refers to the vayavru bein b'sarav. This refers to this week's parasha, the bris bein ha'b'sarim. Okay, let's
no,
see.
Not necessarily.
Okay, let's see the different interpretations.
Rashi over there says that when people made a bris,
they took an animal and they split the two parts. Similar to what we have in this week's parasha, that we bris ben absurd. Let's go one more time. So one more time in the pasuk, "Nasati asanosh ma'ayivim esbrisi asher lo yikim v'estivrei habris asher karsu lefonoi ha'egel." The bris that they have established before me, the egel, a calf, asher karsu l'sham, which he cut into two pieces, v'yavu ben besarav. Let's see the mitzudos first. Pasuk Yudches, asher lo yikimu, kof l'adav v'milim shaynos. We have poetic repetition, asher karsu l'fonai, v'chozam afarish. The pasuk at the end explains exactly how one establishes a bris. Shekarsu ha'egel, you take an animal, you cut the animal into two parts, the shnei chalakim, the avu and the two people, they walk, the avu bein hachalakim. Ki chein ha'yederech karsei bris. That's the way people establish covenants. Kumo shekasa bebris ben absarim. Vayivater asam batavich, okay, hashkocha prof, this is his parasha. Vayivater, he cut them batavich down the center. Hashem took the animal, Hashem cut the animal down the center. Vinei tanur oshon v'lapid esh, there was a furnace, and there was a fire, a pillar of fire, asher avar bein ha'gzor mo'ela, and that represented Hashem, and Avraham passed as well. V'uha yoshlucha sholmokam, the fire, the tanur oshon, and the lapid esh was the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here Hashem is describing that a bris has been forged between himself and Klal Yisrael. Let's look at Rashi. Ha'egel asher karsu l'shnayim, kishechazhu v'chavshum, so he learns over here, it appears that the Rashi is learning very differently. Okay, so over here it appears that Rashi is disagreeing with the Mitzudos. Rashi is saying that the bris that's being established here in the end of the pasuk is a bris of corruption. It is a new bris. It is a bris that after the people decided to subjugate the slaves, it was as if they made a bris to rebel, a new bris to rebel against Hashem. One more time, the words of Rashi. Kishechazhu v'chavshum, when these masters once again subjugated the slaves, karsu kulam bris, it's as if they all established a new covenant, limroi to rebel b'makoim. The karsu ha'egel l'shtayim, it's as if they took an egel and they cut it into two pieces, the avir ben besarav, and they walked between its parts, limrbo to rebel against Hashem. V'hi ha'isa bris chazak ha'gumur le'imar, and it was a very strong established bris, as if to say that so anyone that is in violation, this is a very interesting insight into what the purpose of cutting the animal into two parts, I never saw this before, is that anyone that violates this agreement should be cut, should be split into two pieces, worse than decapitation.
Interesting, though.
What?
The original one is a very important Arba Malchios reference. And here we see it restated right before right before the Chuvana by the first of the Malchios.
By the first of the Malchios. Okay, interesting. Interesting. So this is the way Rashi learns. The bris over here, so far we have a Rachlekes Rashi and the Mitzudos. The bris that says in the Pasuk is a new bris. Read the Pasuk again. And now, what have they done? Asher karsu lefonoi ho'egel. Asher karsu l'shem. It's what they have done. They have abandoned my covenant. They have made for themselves a new covenant to split an animal. Vayar ben besarav. Anyone that does not follow our new laws. The new laws are to take back your slaves and to enslave them. It's good for society that we should enslave our slaves once again. They should be cut into two pieces. According to the Mitzudos, no such thing. According to the Mitzudos, when it says Asher Karsu Lefanav Egel, Asher Karsu L'Shem V'Yavu Ben Besarav, that is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Klal Yisrael a bris, that they should observe the mitzvos, and here Klal Yisrael are in violation of that bris. The end of the pasuk is explaining the beginning of the pasuk, what it means, the brisi that it says in the beginning of the pasuk, what exactly that bris refers to. Now let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yudches Radak, Egel Asher Karsu L'Shnayim, Kein Ho'yederech Kiritzas HaBris. Bris Avraham Avinu Ben Absarim. That's Radak is silent. It appears that Radak is learning like Rashi. I'm not sure, but he's not telling us exactly if it's a new bris or an old bris. It's a violation of Hashem's bris, or they're making a new bris to rebel. All the Radak says that when you make a bris, you take an egel and you cut it into two parts, like the bris Ben Absarim. Pasuk Yutes. So who is guilty? Who is part of this conspiracy against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It includes the Sare Yehuda, the Sare Yerushalayim, Hasari Sim, the officers, the Hakoyhanim, the Chol Am Haaretz, Ha'ovrim, Bain Bisra Egel, who have passed between the two parts of the Egel. I guess each opinion learns back, refers to the original bris or refers to the new bris. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Yutas. So Yehuda Veheim Sorry Yehuda Kavasha Aru Bain Bisra Egel. These are the people who were part of the original bris. Radak says, Bay Sorry Yehuda Vesori Yushlaim, Sorry Yehuda Veheim Asar Masher Minu Orim Mechutz Yushalayim. These are the prince of Yehuda from the sins outside of Yushalayim. The Omar Achar Kach V'Hasori Sin V'Him Sorei Beis Hamelech. What's the difference between the Sorei Yehuda, the Sorei Yerushalayim? So the Sorei Yehuda are people who lived outside Yerushalayim, and the Sorei Sin, they are part of the Melech, the cabinet, the people that are closest to the king. Next pasuk, Pasuk Chof, and Asati Oysam Difer, as a punishment, I'm going to deliver them. Biyad Oyvehem. Uviyad mevakshei nafsham, the chayis nivlo sam lemachal. Their corpses will be like food. Loif hashamayim ulvehem asaretz. V'yetzidkiyo melech Yehuda v'yetsarav v'etin biyad ayvehem. Uviyad mevakshei nafsham. He will be also delivered. Ubiyad chel melech Babel, the army of Babel, ha'ilim me'alechem, that ascend, who are ascending, who have returned. Now, we are retreating from you. Oh, sorry, I think over here, okay, we'll see what this means. I think over here, like Ramchal, you mentioned on the album, there was a temporary ceasefire, yeah, truce. So the I think, if I, now what's coming back to me is that he received word. Right, so they temporarily had to go away. Temporarily, after there was a siege, there was a siege against Yerushalayim, and then the army got word of another rebellion, of trouble elsewhere in the region, so they had to temporarily retreat, abandon the siege temporarily, and take care of business, and when business was over, they would plan to return and come back to Yerushalayim and then continue to lay siege. So here it says, I'm going to deliver Tzidkiyot to these people, Hinani Mitzaven Um Hashem, I am going to give the command, the Hashiv Sim, I'm going to cause the Nebuchadnezzar's army to return Eloir Hazos, Vinilchamu Aleha, and they will fight against it, Ule Chaduha, and they will capture it, Usrafua Vo'esh, the Esore Yehuda Etain Shemama Me'in Yosheb, I will deliver the cities of Yehuda as desolate to a point where no one will live here. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavimis last Psukh of the Perek, starting with Pasuk Chaf. Because I had such a long discussion, we have to go back and repeat some words. The people did not merit burial, a very great curse, that their corpses lied on the street. Uviyad chel heim ha'ivim mevakshei nafsham who kafalim shaynais va'olu me'alechem asher nistalku me'alechem b'shamam sheba mitzrayim la'azor lochem. When they heard that Egyptians are coming here, he says they're coming to help you. The Egyptians are coming over here to help you. K'moy shakas v'chel par yatsim mitzrayim v'yishma ha'kastim v'ya'alu me'al Yerushalayim. So temporarily the kastim departed from Yerushalayim. So Hashem says it's only temporary. They're going to come back. Pasuk habei sini mitzaveh. I command, return to Loimar, O'ir Libam, I will awaken their heart to come and return and conquer you. Vahashi Vaisim, Oshiv Lepo, I will return here, Eschel Melech Babel. I will cause the Melech Babel to return here and attack you and destroy you. Let's see, Rashi, we said the Rashi already, let's review quickly. The Rashi's, Pasik Chav Aleph, Ha'ilim Yalechem, Bnei Chel Paro, Shiyatzim, Mitzrayim, Kamosh, Mephushim, Sefezeh. Later on. Hirani mitzaveh v'shav chel paru la'artso hakastim v'yashuv yashuv aleichem. Paru will go back where they came from, and the kastim will come return to attack Yerushalayim. Radak, the last psukim, pasik chafalif oylem aleichem k'mo shakasu v'zeh seifel lamata v'chel paru yotzem mitzrayim v'yishmu hakastim v'yelum al Yerushalayim. Period. Okay, so that ends this prophecy. Okay, so this pretty much covers this theme. There's a little bit more later on, but for now we're up to about Lamed. We're winding down, Rabbi Sai, soon. It's not going to take that much longer to finish the Sefer. It's going to go very quick. We have to start thinking what we're going to do next.